Good morning. Can you all hear me? Yes, you can. Very good. As I suspected, I will probably do this for many weeks to move here for the first hour, because the few lectures I give I consider quite important, and you are now 9 out of 40, so I think it's good to do this as a service to the other students. Yes. So, we are in week 48, and there is nothing. Oh, thank you, Murphy. Like this.
It's hot in here, it's cold in my office, but it's hot in here. So
we are in week 38. We've had 2 weeks of learning the language of Puppet. If you weren't able to complete the exercises or don't feel that you have full control over everything we've covered so far, that's okay. Don't worry. As I mentioned, the exercises last week, which I will show you the solutions to now, I consider quite difficult. And you didn't have to get them to work, but I hope you worked enough so you have a good feeling of modules, and you can get them to work later. And if you feel that this course is moving too fast, or it's getting too difficult, or you're in some way struggling, or you've been away for a week or two or something, then please come see me and I will help you get back on track. But as I said, today we're sort of starting with something a little bit new. We're now going to work on setting up the infrastructure. We're going to use Puppet in a more real-life setting. So it's really important that don't worry if you don't feel up to date on the course. Just start fresh with this week's exercises. Okay, so I have published some sample solutions. Sorry, I should have named this week week 34, 35 and week 37 instead of using week 4, but once I said week 1 and 2 I should have to continue to be consistent, so this is for week 4. Yes, so creating a stack, I guess this is okay. And installing most recent version of Puppet, this is exactly what you needed to do. So install the Puppet Labs NTP and SAS time zone module and write a manifest time.pp which declares NTP and configures time zone to be Europe Oslo. So that means when I just say declare NTP, then the easiest way to do that is just to say include NTP. Configure time zone, you have to declare time zone as well, but here you have to use a class syntax so you can specify the parameter to be Europe Oslo. And apply the manifest with Puppet apply. So this this would be then like this. So when you write a manifest that you're going to, like when we do this, just puppet apply, just apply this configuration, then we have to put this in a node default statement here, and then we include the NTP module. And we could say just include time zone as well, but if we're going to specify parameters, then we have to say class time zone, do a class declaration like this. So notice that there are two ways of using this class terminology. One is to declare a class, and the other is to define a class grouping as a grouping a block of code. So if I were to do that, then it would say class and then the name of the class here before. Like we have done already, and you will see again and again. So I say just time zone and time zone Europe Oslo, and of course then I can apply this. And this doesn't do that much, so it should be quite fast. But remember, whenever Puppet runs, it gathers a bunch of facts about the node first, and this takes some time. So that's why it's a little bit slow, but it says that the actual running of the configuration only maybe takes half a second or something. Yes. Ah, so this was not run on this host yet, so you see that it changed the time zone. That probably was just editing this file to say it used to be something else, now it's Europe Oslo, like this. Okay, then write a Puppet module which installs and configures the code here, and it should have these parameters. Read these documents, create these classes. Okay, the Gosyn backup class should be in the init.pp file. So we did a Puppet module generate my Gosyn backup, something like this. And then we copied this to my Gosyn backup. I copied this to etc Puppet modules Gosyn backup. That was the first two steps. Then let me move to this directory. And then these are all the files that become generated when you run Puppet module generate. What you were going to do was write the actual code of the module, which is in the manifest directory. And that's these four files you can see here. And I told you to your module should depend on Puppet Lab's VCS repo and use it for installing the script by cloning the repo on GitHub. And you should use Puppet Lab's ini file to edit the configuration file. So you had to do a Puppet module install on these two modules, so you have them available. Okay, so what is the most important thing you have to get from this exercise? See here, Gosyn backup class, Gosyn backup params class, install class, config class. You see here, there's a config file, there's an install file, there's a params file, the main class is in init.pp. Because when you know this structure, then you can examine any module you're going to use you will see most or almost all of them follows this structure, and you can easily go in and inspect the code so you know what you are reusing. So we want to reuse other people's code, but we want to make sure that we know what we're doing. So if I look in the init.pp, see that here is the main class, and I define all the parameters. So the main class is the API to your module. Most of times, users who want to use your module should only use the main class. So they should just declare the main class and then give parameters. So if you don't have to, then you don't have to provide or consider that users are using any of the subclasses. Sometimes that might happen, but the typical case is your main module, that is the API to your module. So notice the ordinary parentheses. So this is, think of this as just programming or just defining a function. Function with parameters, and these are the parameters. And the trick is, you want to set default parameters, and to do this in a nice, clean way, we create a separate class called params, where we put the default parameters. So before I move on, let me just take a look at params, which is just this class here. So you see here I'm defining a class. When we did the declaring of the time zone I just showed you, I said class, brackets, and then the name time zone. I was declaring a class. Here I'm defining a class as a block of code. So I'm saying class and then the name of the class. So here I'm defining. The other use I showed you was declaring the class. So this is just defining a block of code called GoSimBackup params. So here I set these parameters. I set all the backups. No, sorry, I set all the defaults. So this is a nice way to separate out the default values. So if you want to change the default of the modules, you have them always in the params class. So in the init class, we just inherit all of these. And you can validate that the values are okay, that when the users provide a source directory and a destination directory, these should be actual path names. They shouldn't contain invalid characters or things like that. Puppet has these built-in functions that you can validate like this. And then you state that you should do an install before you do a configuration, before you do anything else that might be in this main class. Okay, so the actual work is you install. And to install, we know that we have to have the packages Git, rsync, and Crudini installed. And then we can, when we have them installed, then I can install the actual software. And the trick was that you can reuse, there is a VCS repo module official from Puppet Labs, which the purpose of that module is to install from, for instance, Git. So you can just use that module to install from Git. What you can do in Puppet, and if you're not really familiar with Puppet and you're just getting started, then you can of course do everything with exec. You can, instead of doing this, I could just execute, because you know this is just running the Git clone command or something, and you can just create an exec where you run a shell command and you say that do this, and then you define some unless statement. So run this command unless this is the situation. And this is sort of the beginner mistake, or the getting going in Puppet, is that you only use exec. That's sort of, if you can't find a native way of doing things in Puppet or reusing a module, then you turn to using an exec, which you will see that I have to do you have to do in the exercise later today as well. But if there's a module, a good module, or a native way of doing it except just running a shell command, then we prefer to do that. Because then you get automatically the idempotent behavior. So this is the code for installing. So I say that in this directory, which I define from the parent class, I ensure present, the provider is Git, and the source is this URL. But before I run this, I have to have run this require package Git. So I have to say that I cannot do this if not package Git is installed, and I install Git here. Then I want to make sure that my file is executable, and I cannot do that before the file is installed. So I require that this is performed before this. Notice the syntax. When you require, this is same as like when you're programming and using a pointer, like a reference. So if you want to reference a class, you use uppercase first letter and then these square brackets. So see package with uppercase P and square brackets, and then the name Git, which is from here. Same thing here, uppercase from this and square brackets, and then whatever you put here, you put here. Okay, so this is the install and configuration. You inherit all these parameters. And I set another parameter. No, sorry, yeah. This was the trick. You're going to edit a configuration file with doing many of these ini settings. And if you look at the ini module, the ini file, we look at how to use this, you will see that, okay, so to do an ini setting to change a value, you use this. So then you can repeat this for all the 10 modifications you have to do or something. So ini setting, ini setting, ini setting, ini setting. But of course that, when we start writing that, I'm sure all of you would sort of start freezing on your back or something, that this doesn't feel right. When you're repeating code, you know, that doesn't feel right. So, manage multiple values in a setting. So, not this one. Manage multiple ini settings is the one we're looking for. So, we can do something like this. And then there is a function defined in this module called create ini settings, which can create multiple. So that's why I'm doing it like this. I'm setting a defaults path here, and then I'm creating this settings hash here, which defines in the Linux section of the ini file all these parameters. And then I can just run this create ini settings. So this is from this example here. So this, I have installed it. I have edited the configuration file. And now I can make sure it runs. And this is by creating a cron job like this. And this declaration here, this causes, let's see, this ends up being var spool cron tabs like this. So you see in this file here, this line is the result of Puppet running. Okay. Just ask me if I want to do more with this. Install the modules Puppet Labs Apache and Hunter WordPress and write a manifest which installs WordPress according to the README here. Okay. When I did this exercise myself, I was a bit surprised that it was so much work, because I imagine that installing WordPress using Puppet, that's a pretty standard task. That's almost what everyone demonstrates. Yet still, I was surprised at sort of how bad the code involved was. So this Hunter, I was expecting that this Puppet WordPress module here was much more cleaner and better than it actually was. By the way, here are the sample solutions from starting here. I showed you this. Here are all the files from the Goosin backup module. To install WordPress, you would have to do this. Install these two modules. And then write a Puppet manifest that looks like this. So here I'm just demonstrating that. Typically, when you install something and create a database, you have to set some passwords. And passwords is something you don't want in your code. You want to separate that into somewhere so you can hide it. So you don't want to share your passwords with everyone. So that's why here I'm using the password put in Hiera, and also put also in Hiera. That's what we'll get to later today. That's what we use Hiera for, Hiera. Hiera is a lookup system, like a simple database that's included with Puppet. So you can put all your data in separate files and then use Hiera lookups in the beginning of your code. And this is what we do. So typically, whenever we use passwords, we create some random passwords, put them in the Hiera database, and then we look them up in our code by saying Hiera and the key for looking up that. So, creating a PHP-enabled web server, you have to use this code here, including the Apache module PHP. And then WordPress needs a virtual host, like this. You have to install a MySQL server with PHP bindings, like this. And then the WordPress installation. As you know, WordPress has not the best security-wise reputation. And the default install, if you just say include WordPress, will run WordPress as root. And this is certainly something you don't want to do. And the module specifically state that it doesn't create the WordPress user, so you have to manually create the WordPress user. So that's what we do here. We create a user named WordPress. Then this installs WordPress. And I say that before we do this, we have to make sure we have installed Apache, MySQL, and that the user WordPress has been created. When you do this, you will see that this installs an old version of WordPress. And if you Google, or if you go look for in the CVE database for that version of WordPress, you will see that there are a whole bunch of vulnerabilities in that version of WordPress. So you can specify the version here. But if you do that afterwards, then it doesn't update. It doesn't change the version. But if you go and examine the code of the WordPress module, you will see that it checks for the index.php file. So if you want to, if you add this later, nothing happens. But if you delete the index.php file and then run it again with a new version, then it will upload to the new version. So there are some, you know, this is ugly. It shouldn't be necessary to do this. You should just be able to specify the version and upgrade it. There are some, so that's why I was a little bit disappointed with this module. But we can Puppet apply this. And here I use Chrome with Foxy Proxy. Let's see if this. I have run this already, so it probably doesn't do much. That's true. I should have deleted it and started again, so you see that because actually you come to sort of the default setup page for WordPress. But now I access this host and you see that WordPress is running. Yeah. But you see, it is kind of nice. Here you have code for installing Apache, installing MySQL, creating a user and installing WordPress. And then whenever you need to install WordPress on a host, you just assign this Puppet configuration to it, and it has WordPress and all these things configured. So this is, you know, it's much easier to do this than to try to write this in an ordinary shell script. And if I do this in ordinary shell script, this is just to run a bunch of commands. What's the big disadvantage if I just write this as an ordinary shell script? Yes, one failure and everything is messy. It's not idempotent. You can't run it again and again. If something goes wrong the first time, then it will probably fix it the second time. Yep. Okay, so you have this code here. Okay. This week. So, I have published what we're going to do this week and next week. And then I really need to work hard to prepare the rest of the course. But what has been published now, this is the material that will be on the midterm exam. So you see that we are now in week 38, and then we'll do 39. And at this stage, we have reached our goal. We should have a full infrastructure configuration with the workflow of introducing changes by testing them first in a testing environment, then moving them into production. This is what we want to achieve. And then we're going to move on to do different topics. We're going to do centralized monitoring and centralized logging and then monitoring, where we're going to use this pattern. But the Elk Stack and Isinga will not be part of the midterm exam. So whatever we complete now, this week and next week, those are the topics for the midterm exam, which is in week 41. That's just a 2-hour exam in the morning that Monday before we go on. It counts 1/3 of your grade. Okay, so notice that this week and next week, what we're going to do now is there's a whole bunch of commands that you need to run, and you have to do everything carefully in sequence and change it to adapt to your environment. So, but in principle, everything you have to do for these 2 weeks is to copy and paste what I have written and just change to your SSH key, your IP address, etc. Because I know that this will be complex enough and we really need to reach the goal. So I think it's much better to try to just give you the full recipe and instead of asking you to figure out how to do it. So be aware of that. You can basically just copy and paste everything, but you have to understand what you're doing. So make sure you study every command and ask me. I will show you some of it, of course, but ask me if anything you're wondering about. So copying and pasting from a PDF is a nightmare, so I published a tech file here as well, so you can copy and paste from there. Yes. Now we're going to... start using more servers and start using Windows servers as well for the rest of the course. And so please delete everything you have done so far. Release as many resources as possible. Then for the first part this week, I suspect everyone will be able to do that. And maybe next week, but when we move on to run the entire infrastructure we're going to do, it might be that I will ask you to move to work together two and two. But we'll see. I will check how many are actually doing all of this, because if we're going to run a full infrastructure using approximately 35 gigabytes of RAM or something, and of course if 40 students all run this, I think the load will be too heavy on Sky High. So, but this week we will be okay. So that's why I have divided this into three heat templates. So the first one and maybe the second one will be okay if each and every one of you do. But if you run all three of them, that might be too heavy. So please delete everything you have so far. Create a heat stack with a Windows server and two Ubuntu servers. And this is here. So I know that those of you are watching this video, this is hard to see, but if I speak loudly and... So there will be a manager. And there will be a manager and a host called DIR01, directory server, and a monitor. And then we will add a bunch of hosts. So in an infrastructure, we usually have one key machine, which is the only one we control manually. And this is our manager. So this is the only one that you will actually log into and do stuff with, ideally. But we're going to use a mixed environment. And when you start using, because usually you use Active Directory. Use Active Directory as your directory environment whenever you have a cross-platform environment, typically. And whenever you use Active Directory, then you should also use a Windows DNS server here, because that makes life much, much easier. So we are installing a DNS server here, because we need, whenever you install something, you have to have synchronized time and proper name lookups. That's the first thing you check, that you have synchronized time and proper name lookups before you do anything else. That is a very nice thing to avoid any unexpected failures. Yes, so these are the three hosts we're going to install. And you will see that this template you can download and install. And as you see, I have default values for many things here. You can specify a different network address, but if you want to have as little, if you want to change as little as possible in the rest of the exercise, then I recommend that you stick with this address here. That's 180. So the only special thing here is that I ask you to provide an administrator password, which of course providing an administrator password on the command line is not something you do or should do, but you can do that initially and then you change it instead later. Then you know the rest of the things here, except one really cool thing. Check this out. This is the Windows server. And when you launch servers with Heat, now we want the final thing that each server does should be to connect to the Puppet Master. And on Windows, we're not going to do that yet. We're going to do that in the next two templates. But when you want to run commands after a host has booted for the first time, you can do that by using Cloud Init, which is in all these instances, the Cloud Init system. And this will receive data from this declaration here. You say user data, then you can just put directly code here. But I like to use this string replace so I can separate parameters. So this is Windows, and the cool thing with Cloud Init is that it understands native PowerShell. Usually you have to do this trickery saying PowerShell dash command and then the PowerShell code you want to execute. But Cloud Init on Windows here understands native PowerShell, so I just have to put this declaration first. This says that this is PowerShell code. We're going to use PowerShell desired state configuration and some features of that which are in the Windows Management Framework version 5.0, which has not been published yet. But I was counting on that being in a new, more mature version before we were going to teach this, and that happened 2 weeks ago. Then the 5.0 production preview version was out. And this is sort of the first real version of Windows Management Framework 5.0, which makes PowerShell desired state configuration much easier. So this downloads this Windows Management Framework, sets the administrator password, and then starts installing this framework, and this will reboot. And that's why you have to set the administrator password before you reboot for the first time. Notice the logic here. So I define a parameter admin password, which I get from the parameter to the Heat template. So you set this on the command line. This gets put here in a parameter admin password, and this is simply put there. So this admin password is replaced with this, which is replaced with the admin PV which you provide on the command line. So that's the logic. That's why this is called string replace. This is the template. This is the parameters you want to substitute in the template. So this is just so you can feed a password on the command line, and this gets set in the Windows server. Yep. So you have to create this, provide your SSH key and your security groups, and here you have to put an administrator password. Then before we do anything more on the manager, we have to make sure DNS is working. That is something you're going to do with PowerShell desired state configuration here. Follow these instructions carefully, but there's a lot of details in this, so please ask me when you run into trouble or if there's something you don't understand. So we install DNS, then we're going to install Foreman. Foreman is our puppet master. Foreman is a separate system, but that's sort of a GUI around Puppet instead of Puppet Enterprise. And Foreman looks, let's see, Foreman looks like this. Then you can log in and do many cool things in Foreman, which I will show you later. So to install Foreman, you have to do everything that's here. Read everything carefully and notice here you have to, I don't know what IP address your DNS server will be. You have to insert that wherever it says IP of DIR01. That other than that, this should be kind of straightforward, except what I'm asking you to do here. So the way this works is that when you launch a new host, it connects to Foreman, and then Foreman should use dynamic DNS to update the DNS record here. And this should work, but it doesn't. If you get it to work, let me know. The way it should work is the code I'm showing you here. So that's why you are creating a user in DNS with, and you create a Kerberos key tab, which is just the username and the encrypted password in a separate file, so that Foreman can talk dynamic DNS to the DNS server and update the record as soon as a host joins. So this should be automatic. I have done everything according to the book, but I find no trace in the log file of this happening. And I've tried for quite a few hours to figure it out, and I had to end up asking on the Google group for Foreman, but no one have answered. So if you figured it out, please go to the Foreman user group and answer me there. Okay. So we're going to install Foreman, install PuppetDB, and then add it to Foreman. You have to do this in this sequence. And then you should install most recent version of Puppet on both Windows and on Ubuntu, the monitor host. Join them and assign them configuration. Create a Puppet module and assign configuration to these using Foreman. Then you should put your data, all your site-specific data, in Hiera. Here is the files you need for that. Here is the configuration you can use on Windows. There you see an example of an exec, which I've commented here. Yeah. I think that's enough work for today. And just but start on this, and as soon as you see where you have problems, I will stop and lecture a bit about that.